Our scripture today is found in John 10:10. And again, the topic is, what did Jesus say about his purpose? Now, John 10:10, Jesus, and this is the B clause. Jesus says, I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. To give you some background on John 10:10, Jesus was teaching a parable about how sheep enter into the sheepfold. And he explains that the purpose for which Satan came, the thief, was to steal, kill, and to destroy. And then he says, but I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus was stating his purpose. Jesus had a twofold purpose for coming to earth, was for mankind to have eternal and abundant life. Eternal life, and you'll see it on the screen, is a gift received through faith in Jesus' finished work. What was Jesus' finished work? Jesus' finished work was he died on the cross in your place and in my place for my sins. He was buried and he arose from the dead. That's finished. He doesn't have to do it again once and once for all. Now, eternal life is made accessible to all. Jesus tells us in John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, verse 17 says, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Many times people don't read verse 17, but it's as important as verse 16. Jesus did not come to condemn the world. He didn't come to point a finger at you every time you did something wrong, you dirty, rotten scoundrel. No, he came to save us. Jesus said in John chapter 3, verses 3 and 6, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Nicodemus was a Jew who had heard Jesus speak before, and it interested him. And so what he did was he came to see Jesus at night so that his fellow Jews could not see him and get mad at him. And so Jesus is explaining to him that we must be born again. And Nicodemus' response was, can I go a second time into my mother's womb? He misunderstood. We were all born physically. Man is a tripartite being. There are three parts to us. We have a spirit, we have a soul, and we have a body. And so Jesus was not talking about a physical birth. He was talking about a spiritual birth. When, because of Adam and Eve's sin, we're descendants from them, and every person that's born is born spiritually dead. Now, dead in the Bible just means separated. So when a baby is born, they are born spiritually dead, separated from God because of what we call original sin. You don't have to teach a child to lie or to steal a cookie. It's original sin. We're born with a sin nature. And so, of course, if that's your nature, it just comes natural. It's easy to do. You don't have to be taught or trained to sin. So Jesus is talking about we have to be born again spiritually. Eternal life means that we are a member of God's family and kingdom forever. Now, through the years, people have scholars, and now even today, people, they debate that. But the Word of God is our standard in the final say. In John 10:28, Jesus said, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Isn't it good to know that once you're saved, you're always, I'm talking about real for saved. I'm not talking about shucking and jiving and perpetrating and pretending, but I'm talking about having a real, honest to good encounter with the Lord where you are born again spiritually. And when that happens to you, no one, the devil, no one, oh, thank you, Lord, can pluck you out of the Lord's hand. Now, we can get out of fellowship with God by having unconfessed sin in our lives. When you become a Christian, doesn't mean that you'll never sin again. Truth be told, we commit some kind of sin every day. And if you say you're not, you just committed the sin of lying. But God has made provisions in his word for us to get back and to fellowship with him. He says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Can you imagine every time you committed a sin, you had to get born again? For most of us, it would mean we would probably have to get born again every day and all day. But once we confess it, the Lord forgives us and cleanses us. Now, the second type, the second purpose for which Jesus came was for us to have abundant life. Now, remember, I told you that eternal life is a gift. You just receive it by faith. However, abundant life is a little different. With abundant life, that requires action. What is the action? The action is employing key growth and development components in partnership with God. In other words, obey the word of God. God gives us the will and the power to do his will. God, we don't come up with this stuff, oh, you know, this is why we can't brag about it. I did this, I did that. No, God gives us the will to obey his word, and God gives us the power to do it. In and of ourselves, we couldn't do it. Our sufficiency is of God. And so that's all that's talking about. Key growth and development, in other words, the Bible. Do the word. And I would say do the word that you heard. Now, what is abundance? Abundance is an excess. It's an overflow. It's a flood of blessings. If you were running the water in your kitchen sink and the phone rang, you ran to get it and you left the water on, trust me, when you come back, you're going to have an abundance of water on your kitchen floor. You're going to have an overflow of water on your kitchen floor. You're going to have a flood on your kitchen floor. And so God wants to give his children abundance. He wants to give us an excess, an overflow, a flood of blessings of the things that pertain to life and godliness, the tangible and the intangible blessings. Tangible, those are the blessings that we all need in this world. More than enough clothes, shoes, things that you take pleasure in, for the children, toys, cards, video games. When I say cars, I'm talking about model cars, okay? And also the intangible blessings, an abundance of love, an abundance of joy, an abundance of peace, things that you can't see, but it blesses your life when you have these particular things in your life. Abundant life is living under the open heaven, the open window of heaven. I know somebody out there is saying, I want to live under the open window of heaven. Well, let me tell you how to do it. It's in Malachi chapter 3, which talks about tithing. The Bible says that if we tithe, and the tithe is 10% of all increases. So if we give 10% of all increase back to God for the upbuilding of his kingdom and for the sustenance of his house, the church, God says, I'm going to give you a sevenfold blessing. And one of those sevenfold blessings is you, the windows of heaven will be open over your life. In fact, the scripture actually says, I will pour you out such a blessing that you won't have room enough to receive it. So God gives you 100% of everything that you have. And he's saying, give me back a dime for every dollar. Sounds like a good deal to me. In fact, when we go to the restaurant, the waitress wants 15, and depending on where you're at, she might want 20%. And Uncle Sam, he gets his off the top, and I don't know what the percentage range is, but I'm pretty sure that it is more than 10%. Abundant life is again, working in cooperation with God. Our part is to develop our relationship with God through prayer and the word, and to obey that word. God's part is to give us the abundant life. Jesus came for two purposes, to make eternal life and abundant life accessible to all persons. If you're under the sound of my voice and you have never made Jesus your Lord, I extend an invitation to you to repeat the sinner's prayer with me. Dear God, I admit I was born a sinner and I cannot save myself. B, I believe Jesus is your son. He died on the cross for my sins and arose from the dead. C, I confess Jesus as my Savior and Lord. Please fill me with your spirit in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. If you said that prayer from your heart, oh, the good news is just that quick, fast, and a hurry. God has saved you. You are a Christian now. Run, go tell somebody. I've been born again. I am a Christian. Oh, I'm just so excited for you. My prayer is that God would lead you to the Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church of his choice. What did Jesus say about his purpose? John 10:10, the B clause, he says, I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Let's review. Jesus' twofold purpose for coming to earth was for mankind to have eternal and abundant life. Eternal life is the gift received through faith in Jesus' finished work on the cross, which was his death, burial, and resurrection. Eternal life is made accessible to all people. And eternal life means being a member of God's family and kingdom forever. Now, abundant life, on the other hand, requires action. You have to do something. What do you have to do? You have to obey God's word. Abundant life is having more than enough of the things that pertain to life and godliness, having enough to meet you and your family's personal need, and an excess, an abundance, an overflow, so that you can give to those who nothing has been prepared. We thank God that Jesus came to the earth and that he has a wonderful, wonderful purpose for which he came. And another show, Jesus also has a unique purpose for your life. And he has a good plan for your life to give you an expected end.